Good morning. Let the record show that Cleveland Regional First Committee was convened at 8:07 a.m. Today we have present Representative Bob Heron, Representative Harry Drum, my fellow co-chair, and Representative Gert Olson, and myself, Representative Benny Nile. Also, and Representative here, the chairman here. Did I say that? Okay, there's, let me start all over. Today we have present Representative Bob Heron, Representative Kurt Olson, my fellow co-chair, Representative Gabrielle Ledoux, and myself, Representative Ben Novak. We have a quorum. I would also like to recognize the staff today, Chris Jones, House Recording Secretary, Stephanie Evans, our LIO moderator, and our DCCNRA committee aides, Dirk Moffat and Kimberly Clark. And please turn off your phones or put them in mute. I just did that myself. Today we will hear version A of House Bill 131, an act relating to abandoned and derelict vessels in the first committee of referral. Can I please have Representative Seaton and staff come forward, put yourself on record, and introduce your bill. Representative Seaton, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff, appreciate being able to present this bill today. House Bill 131 is addressing a problem that's been evident throughout the state for a long time. It's come to a head most recently through a couple of sinkings of vessels in Jackaloff Bay and a very costly response that had to go over to take those derelict vessels that were anchored in state waters and remove them. This legislation is primarily based off of language that was provided to us by the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. And they have been working as municipal officials for quite a while trying to solve this problem. This is a costly and growing problem across the state, and it has been accentuated by fisheries consolidation that took place in the 1990s, and those vessels then that can no longer participate in those fisheries have been in our harbors and getting older, being sold to people with less financial responsibility, some used as houseboats, and but the major haulouts and those kind of things that are necessary to maintain a vessel haven't been taking place. And so those are some of the larger vessels. We've had a lot of smaller vessels that have been abandoned across the state for a longer period of time as they get older and get replaced by newer, more modern, technologically advanced kind of vessels. The vessels that are abandoned in the harbors take up a lot of marine space and ultimately are problems for the municipality to deal with. And an example of that is a large vessel that sank in Cordova Harbor, and it took several years to get through all the paperwork and try to finally resolve that issue, as well as once it's abandoned, there's no one to pay for that. And I just mentioned on Jackaloff Bay, and that was a situation in which some a person had some vessels that were basically kicked out of a previous harbor, and they were turned down from entrance into the Homer Harbor because of their condition. And they were taken over across the bay and anchored in state waters, and during this last winter, they sank. And when they sank, then there was fuel on board, a sheen. All of a sudden, the Coast Guard was having to respond. We had about $250,000 effort had to go over to raise those vessels in the middle of winter. You know, ice and all those kind of conditions because there was fuel leaking. So then as soon as they were raised, they became the concern of the Department of Transportation because under our statutes, the harbors that were originally across the state of Alaska were owned by the state of Alaska and operated by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And those many, in fact, most of those harbors have been transferred to municipalities. But this authority for dealing with those vessels is still with DOT. And yet DNR, Department of Natural Resources, has the control or the responsibility for those 3 mile state waters where something would sink. So it's been a real problem of having to get authority transferred from one agency to another. So House Bill 131 allows for a multi-agency approach to dealing with abandoned and derelict vessels, and it replaces the department with the state agency, which also includes a municipality.
For the record, we welcome Reverend Reinbold to committee. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
So the abandoned and derelict vessel statute is a framework for dealing with these abandoned vessels and clearly lays out the procedures that state agencies and municipalities can go through to handle it. So that's the problem, and we are offering House Bill 131 as a way to move forward to cure the problem, to give agencies the proper authority to be able to deal with the situations as they occur. So, Mr. Chairman, if you would like, we can go through the sectional analysis of the bill. I believe you have that, and that might be the easiest way. And then we have a number of people online that can, harbor masters, DNR, DOT, that could answer specific questions if people have questions on specific harbors or those kind of things.
Do you have questions from the committee?
I've got two, Representative Seaton. First of all, would it be correct to say that what this bill basically does is add municipalities to the places that the people can't abandon or leave a boat? I mean, previously the state, we didn't let the state let them leave it if it was a state place, if it was owned by the state, but there wasn't anything dealing with the municipalities. Is that what it basically does?
Through the chair, Co-Chair Ledoux, that's one of the things it does. Another thing it does is says that if a vessel is turned down from entrance into a harbor because of a derelict condition, then they can't store the vessel in state waters, that's 0 to 3 miles, for over 14 days without removing the hazardous waste and bulk fuel on board, hydrocarbons, because the Jackaloff Bay sinking of those two vessels is a good example. If that hadn't had contaminants on board, then those could have been weighted. They could have dealt with them in the spring. You wouldn't have an oil spill response and all that kind of stuff to deal with. You could deal with in a much more responsive fashion. But the problem is there is nothing that says that if you have a derelict vessel, you must remove the fuel before you anchor it for over 14 days in state waters. And so this provides that authority, too, to tell people, hey, now you're notified because the harbor won't let you take a derelict vessel in, but you must. Right now, there's no provision at all that says you have to take the fuel off. And it sinks, now you have a big contamination problem. If the fuel's off, if the batteries are out of those vessels, then even if it sinks, you can deal with it in an economical time period. You can actually go to court. You could have the person, the responsible party, pay to float them, those kind of things, instead of having to do an emergency response. So it's more than just transferring the authority to the municipalities, but that's one very key element. Yes.
Can I ask?
Follow up.
So what interrelationship does this bill, which deals with state waters, is this governed by federal maritime law too?
The through the chair, co-chair Ledoux, the federal maritime law has an existence out there. The harbor masters don't feel that just because a vessel is documented, it limits their authority. But when it's within state waters, the Department of Transportation is the agent that has the authority over derelict vessels in our current statute. But DNR has the responsibility for maintaining the state waters and state lands. So it's kind of like you have the responsibility in one agency and the only authority to deal with the situation in another agency. And if it's within a municipality, there isn't any clear authority to deal with those. It's all through DOT. So this is clarifying that the people that have the responsibility also have the authority to take care of the problem.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Heron?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, good morning. Paul, on expanding it to municipalities, was there consideration to expand it to political subdivisions with Freeboard?
Representative Heron, through the chair, I didn't catch the question quite. Could you repeat it for me?
Sure. Was there any consideration of expanding it to political subdivisions with Freeboard, in other words, sideboards?
Through the chair, what we're doing is expanding it to municipalities, a police officer, or a state agency. So it covers state agencies, which are subdivisions of state agencies as well. And the municipalities are there because they, in many cases, have taken ownership and control of harbors. So I'm not sure what sideboards you're requesting, but we do have harbor masters online that could answer that question, I believe.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman. Why are we limiting it to, at these state agencies and municipalities, why are we limiting it? Why can't we have other political subdivisions that want to take on the disposal of a derelict vessel, maybe not a hazardous derelict vessel, but say a 16-foot Lund that's nothing's in it, it's abandoned? Why can't other political subdivisions besides a state agency and a municipality, use their assets to dispose of this abandoned vessel?
Through the chair, Representative Heron, well, we do have a peace officer, and a peace officer is fairly broad definition as well as a municipality. But municipality includes boroughs and municipalities, and I don't know, we haven't been contacted by any other local authority that has control over a harbor that couldn't employ a peace officer or a state agency to have that authority. So maybe I'm missing the question, and we can address it with someone else.
Just one more question is, of course, especially with hazardous derelict vessels, and the bottom line is who is going to ultimately pay for it? But what if a local jurisdiction doesn't, again, using the 16-foot Lund that has no gas tanks and it has no motor on it, who would pay for that? Who gets to decide who pays for the removal of any derelict vessel that may be on their property that's not hazardous?
And through the chair, Representative Heron, this deals with state lands. So if there's a vessel on private land, private landowners have separate authority to deal with their lands and waters. But this really just deals with state lands and state waters. So the private landowner has other authorities that they can currently exercise. There is, within the municipal section here, if there's a derelict vessel and there is an appraisal less than $100, then it doesn't have to go through a long process at all. There just has to be notice to the last owner of record or publish in the paper if there's no owner of record, and then it can be disposed of. But there is no money that follows the bill saying that we're creating a fund to take care of these. We're just allowing the authority to the different agencies that have the responsibility.
Thank you.
Any other Representative Ledoux?
Yeah, I want to follow up on Representative Herron's questions. So aren't there any communities out there that may not fall under the definition of a municipality, but, for example, fall under the definition of a community, like we have for revenue sharing? There's communities out there that are entitled to revenue sharing funds, which either tribal governments or other communities, some of which I actually think may be in your neck of the woods, Representative Seaton. Wouldn't any of them want to also have the authority to do something about these abandoned vessels?
Through the chair, Co-Chair Ledoux, we haven't been contacted by anybody that said that they have a harbor, that it's not private land. I mean, like, we have villages, but it's, you know, village land, and they have the ability to take care, they have the authority and the ability to take care of those situations on private land themselves. If it's state waters, this deals with state waters, and so this allows the agency, the peace officer, and a peace officer is a fairly broad definition that includes, it's not a police officer, but a peace officer has that broad definition, so that if they have a peace officer, they can utilize that as well. So I just, we have not reached out and tried to create situations beyond those that people have contacted us and told us there's a problem. And so if there is a problem, I'm happy that Community and Regional Affairs is having this hearing so that we can get that input and improve the bill if there's ways to improve the bill.
Thank you.
Any other questions? You were going to continue on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you want to look at the bill, if we look through the sectional, that might be the easiest way, because this is pretty much a bill that is setting out procedures. And we could go through line by line on the bill, and I'd be happy to do that if you want. But if you have the sectional, then we could just go through that.
Go ahead, Mr. Representative.
Section 1, it says that a person may not store a derelict vessel or abandon the vessel in the waters of the state, a state or municipal port, or private property without consent. So right now, there's really not authority that says you can't do those things. So this gives the authority that you're not allowed to do that. Section 2 is hazardous derelict vessel may be removed from state waters by either a state agency, by a municipality, or a peace officer. And in Section 3, if a vessel is denied entrance into a harbor, all of the following materials must be removed before it is stored for more than 14 consecutive days in state waters, and that's the hazardous materials and the petroleum products. And Mr. Chairman, if there's any questions on any of these things as we go through, just stop me and we'll stop at that point. If there aren't, I'll just proceed.
Thank you. Any questions so far? Thank you. Go ahead, Mr.
Section 4 is a vessel left unattended for over 30 consecutive days on state or private property without consent may be removed and disposed by a state agency or a municipality or a peace officer. So this is also where it gives the private owners, such as Representative Ledoux was talking about, where you might have a village where there was things left, gives the authority to take care of that as well. Section 5. Outside of organized municipalities, a vessel may be left unattended for more than 30 consecutive days if it is considered an acceptable local practice. So we wanted to make sure in Section 5 that we were catching the situation where, let's say, people had the normal practice of bringing their lung skiffs up and leaving them over the winter. Maybe they're leaving at a fish camp. So those are not then considered abandoned vessels. That's outside of a municipality. just to make sure that we weren't catching things as abandoned vessels that we're not intending to catch. Section 6, upon taking the vessel into custody, a municipality state agency must attempt to notify the owners of record for 20 days prior to their repossession of the vessel, so that there is notice and it just something doesn't disappear, as long as there's some kind of record that person has. Section 7, a person or interested party may take possession of a boat before public auction if they pay all the fees associated with the vessel. So just making clear that if a harbor is there and they post the notice and they contact the owner and say, this is an abandoned vessel, you haven't been paying your slip fees, everything else, we're going to auction this vessel off. And this just gives the owner of record the opportunity to come in and pay the fees and then not have an abandoned vessel auction. And Section 8, a public auction for a repossessed vessel is not needed if the appraised value is less than $100. And so that's just to make sure that we aren't having a huge expense on the departments for things that are obviously not going to be salvaged or not salvageable. Section 9 is a bill of sale is required for any transfers under the legislation.
Representative Ledoux, you have a question?
I thought if a vessel was documented, you needed something like it was different than a bill of sale, and I can't quite remember what it is, but I thought that there was this federal document that you needed rather than a bill of sale.
Through the chair, Co-Chair Ledoux, it is a marine bill of sale for a federal documented vessel, but it is a bill of sale for documented vessels as well. It's just a separate bill of sale that's processed through the documentation office in Falling Waters, West Virginia. So in Section 10, a vessel is considered derelict if left unattended for more than 24 consecutive hours under the following conditions. Its sunk or is in sinking or posing a threat or has been moored or left in waters of the state illegally, that's over 14 days, with no current registration and the owner cannot be determined. So it means we don't have to sit around and wait 30-day period or the 14-day period if a vessel is sinking. And when a municipal, a state, or a peace officer takes possession of a derelict, they must do several things. They must publish a notice of intended disposition. They must publish a notice, as well if there's a local paper, and then they must serve the registered owners if known and the financiers with a notice. So those are the requirements to make sure that something isn't being lost. And if a vessel is in a repair business, it's considered abandoned if the following conditions have been met. The vessel has been towed and requested repairs have been performed. No authorization is given for further service, and the state agency or municipality and the owner are notified and the vessel is not claimed for over 30 days. One thing that's been happening is people take something into a boatyard or repair facility, they get the repairs done, and then they just leave it. And so this is a mechanism for that as well. Again, that's extending onto private land and giving them the authority and clear procedural ways to proceed. Section 13, a municipality, is the way it's currently defined. A state agency is the executive branch or agency. Vessel is a water transportation device that is not a float plane. And waters of the state are navigable waters within 3-mile limit. And then Section 14 is repeal of the specific Department of Transportation Public Facilities Authority, because that's being replaced with this authority that goes to multi-agencies, because that was that AS 3030.160 is specific authority that then only DOT had, and this bill replaces that with authority that includes municipalities and other state agencies. And so, Mr. Chairman, I think that that's pretty much wraps up what the bill does and how it does it, and the intent is to take care of this growing problem of abandoned vessels in the state.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Ryan Ball?
It's just a comment. Thanks for bringing this to the attention of the committee. I think it's a really important and could be easily overlooked, you know, unless you're right there, you know, seeing the derelict vessel. So thanks for bringing it forward.
And through the chair, thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, there are a number of people online. I think you have a list of them that could answer questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? If not, I'd like to open public testimony for House Bill 131. First, we have Michael Lushkin with the Department of Transportation in the room. Mr. Lushkin?
Yes, my name is Michael Lushkin. I work as the State Portion Harbor Engineer for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And I don't have a presentation today, but I'm here to maybe just make a general statement of support for this bill and provide any answers or any questions you may have specifically about it. So the old statute, the current AS 3030, kind of go back in terms of why it was created. It was created back in 1975 when there was the Department of Public Works. And the Department of Public Works then was in the business of building harbors for the state of Alaska. At one time, we had 100 harbors that were owned by the Department of Public Works. But then Public Works merged with the Department of Public Highways in around 1980 and has formed the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. So those authorities that were with Public Works under owning many harbors were then transferred and inherited by Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Since the 1980s, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has been asked by the executive branch and the legislature to divest as many harbors as we can and transfer those back to local control, and we have done that. We've transferred about 76 harbors back to the municipalities, and we did that underneath AS 3510-120, which is a specific legislation that allows us to transfer harbors only to a municipality. So I think that may have been part of the reason that AS 3030 was, when it was originally crafted as it is today, limits it only to in terms of trying to transfer it. So I should say in House Bill 131, trying to transfer that same authority to just the municipalities. So if there is interest, I guess, to transfer it to another political entity, like Representative Herron was talking, Mr. Chairman, that was maybe just an oversight because of what DOT has done in terms of this past practice. So right now, if this bill were to go forward, it broadens the authority that is limited with just DOT at this point because we're not funded to respond to this issue. We have no personnel, no money, no way to really deal with this. And since Alaska has 33,000 miles of coastline, it makes it very challenging for those public waters and those public harbors that may be within state or local control. And so this authority would provide good legislation to allow any entity, be it a state agency, municipality, or peace officer, to take proactive steps in terms of dealing with the issue of abandoned and derelict vessels. And that kind of concludes my testimony. I'm here to answer any specific questions.
Representative Reinborn has a question.
It's just a tiny question. I know because of the disaster in Japan, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff, on our coastline. But I would assume that 99% or more of that stuff probably isn't abandoned vessels or anything. But is there any plan on you guys' side to help clean that up?
Through the chair, Representative, at this point, we don't really have a response. The only thing I'm aware of is NOAA has a federal program through their marine debris removal plan that they may be able to respond to that. And I believe they're tracking it through their sciences and their modeling of ocean currents. But the department has not done anything. There may be another department here today or available to answer that in more detail. I'm sorry.
Follow up? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lushkin. Then we have Wynn Menifee with DNR Online. Mr. Menefee?
Hi, this is Wynn Menefee with the Department of Natural Resources, and mostly I'm here just to answer any questions you may have, as DNR is the manager of the submerged lands and tidelands out to the three-mile limit, anywhere that it hasn't been conveyed to a municipality. And so, and generally this, as was stated by DOT, this is good that this broadens out the authority to allow DNR, as well as others, to take this authority and apply it when needed. And as Representative Seaton said, this doesn't actually mandate any sort of removal of vessels, and it doesn't create a fund for doing that. It's just giving you the extra tool in your tool belt to be able to deal with these abandoned and derelict vessels. And there are many, many abandoned derelict vessels on state lands.
So you have no big headaches about this bill, Mr. Menefee?
To the chair, this bill does not cause us any headaches because, if anything, it gives us something that the authority that we did not have before. When we had to deal with the Jackaloff Bay incident, we had to actually go to DOT, get delegated authority under their authority to be able to deal with these two vessels that sank in Jackaloff Bay. And it's just extra steps and times, and we're still dealing with that issue because we're still dealing with the disposal of the vehicles or the vessels. And so this this is good to have this extra authority.
Any other Representative Rainbow?
Hi, Wynn. It's nice to hear you on the phone here. And you probably heard me ask the gentleman that was just before you, is there any plans, because we're in the cleanup mode and dealing with derelict vessels, are there any issues or authority that you guys need in regards to the stuff that's washing up from Japan on our shores?
Representative Reinbold, through the chair, the DEC is the lead on the cleanup efforts for the state. However, DNR is on part of that work task force. We're working with NOAA, and there is a lot of increase of debris on state lands as well as others. There is a certain amount of funding that Japan gave to the federal government, which NOAA is trying to apply to this issue. One of the first things they did was mapping the debris where it comes ashore, and that's very important to know where you have the increases of the debris, the collector beaches. But most of the cleanup, rather than the state agencies paying for it, it's more of a coordination and trying to work with various different groups that there's many groups that actually are already formed that are trying to clean up different beaches and trying to make sure they have the appropriate authorizations to do so, like if they need to bring heavy equipment onto a beach and use it, to make sure that they get their proper authorizations to do so, but trying to make it so that we can get these beaches cleaned up. We have to be cognizant of the fact that there's no way you're going to be able to clean up all the beaches. But the question is, trying to prioritize those, and that's what the agency is met about, is trying to prioritize which beaches are the most important to clean up, where they may have a habitat issue or something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Menefee. Then we'll move on to online. Joy Baker from Washington is representing the Port of Nome. And he wants to testify, Mr. Baker?
Yes, sir. This is Dory Baker, as you indicated, Port of Nome. And although the Port of Nome is not one of the previously owned state harbors that was transferred under the bill that was mentioned, but Even so, even though we've been a different type of facility, we still support this bill wholeheartedly, as we've had a number of vessels to deal with in the 20 years I've been with the city. Several large vessels that were left there many years ago, that barge and a ship that we were able to have salvaged. It took quite an exercise in the paperwork to be able to perform that. We did manage to get it done. We've had other smaller vessels since, but I think the language in this bill will give us the authority that we need to expedite these disposals, acquiring possession of them and being able to move forward. In addition, the expense, as was mentioned, is extensive. Sometimes we are able to manage it if it's a small enough vessel. Otherwise, it exceeds our capacity, and we have to manage it over a several-year period in order to use revenues to dispose of the vessels. So, yes, I just wanted to testify today that NOM's wholeheartedly supports this, and we hope that this bill is approved and adopted. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Baker. Any questions? If not, we'll move on to the next person. Steve Corporan from Ketchikan is a representative and president. He's a president of Alaska Association of Harbor and Port Administration. Mr. Corporan?
Yes, thank you, sir. I'll be very brief. All of our harbors here in the city of Ketchikan, we have taken from the state, and the city has good code and laws that give us impound authority and control over abandoned and derelict vessels. The problem is that my authority doesn't go very far away from these harbors. So we've done a good job policing our harbors. We've done a good job of keeping the derelicts under control, but they tend to run away from us when they become the issue. And they don't have to go very far before they're in the borough waters, the state waters. And the key is to get the authority to these other areas, including the state, to take action on these vessels before they sink. The environmental and the economical impacts are exponentially increased once these vessels sink. They are much easier to deal with while they're still floating. And right now, they're basically kind of going out and just anchoring out or going someplace where they don't have to pay moorage, and they're just being abandoned, and it doesn't take long for them to deteriorate and sink, and that's where those impacts are. So it's the bill is much simpler than it reads, I think, in that it's just trying to get this, similar authorities for other parts of the area so that we can deal with these vessels before it gets worse.
Is that it, Mr. Corporan?
Yes, sir, unless there's any questions.
Any other questions? Any questions from the committee? If not, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Corporan, for your testimony. And next is Rachel Lord from Homer with Cook and the Keeper. Ma'am, are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. My name is Rachel Lord. I do work for Cook Inlet Keeper, and I'm the coordinator for the statewide Alaska Clean Harbors program. Alaska Clean Harbors is a voluntary statewide program that works with harbor masters on improving resources and tools for waste management and pollution prevention and customer service activities, like I said, around the state. And I'm here expressing the support of Alaska Clean Harbors for House Bill 131. HB 131 is a strong step to improve the ability of our municipalities and state agencies to deal effectively with abandoned derelict vessels along Alaska's vast coastline. Many coastal municipalities lack the legal framework within their codes to navigate the seas of maritime law to effectively deal with these vessels. We can and should look to states like Washington, where the state has spent millions of dollars dealing with abandoned derelict vessels on their coast, thus catalyzing legislative action to coordinate efforts and provide structure to address these real environmental and financial concerns. Alaska has enjoyed a relatively young fleet of actively working vessels. This is increasingly not the case as our fleet ages, and as we look ahead into the not-too-distant future, we will likely be drowning, no pun intended, in derelicts. Not only a problem in our municipal harbors, these vessels are increasingly littering our coastline and sharing these waters with our fish and shellfish. Alaska Clean Harbors is in strong support of House Bill 131, and we encourage its adoption. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Thank you. Then we'll move on to Mr. Brian Hawkins from Homer, and he's representing the Port of Homer. Mr. Hawkins?
Yeah, good morning. This is Brian Hawkins. I'm Port Director and Harbor Master for the City of Homer's Port and Harbor. And speaking for the city, in the Port and Harbor, we support House Bill 131. We see this as a good step forward. We believe that this helps also enable good communication between state and cities when it comes to the issue of derelict vessels. One of the key components to being successful in addressing the issue is recognizing the problem early and having the authority to act on it before it grows into, you know, a major incident. And this bill is enabling the authority to the harbors and the state as well. Just going back a little bit on some of the questions that came up earlier, the City of Homer and many of the communities, harbor masters like myself, we have police powers already in our code. And so that is a tool that we have already. Just wanted to clarify that. So that's just about it for me. I just wanted to voice Homer's support for this bill, and I'm here for questions as well.
Thank you very much. Do you have any questions here? If not, we will move on to Carl Yucatil. He's the Vice President of the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. Mr. Yucatil.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a matter of introduction, I'm also the Port Director here in Juneau, but I'm testifying today as the Vice President of the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. The Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators, in our Resolution 2012-02, strongly urges support of the proposed changes to Chapter 3030 for abandoned and derelict vessels. AAHPA believes delegation of authority under state statutes to local municipalities is a step in the right direction in turning the tide of abandoned and derelict vessels in the state. The condition of vessels operating in state waters of Alaska is diverse, from modern yachts and well-maintained 80-year-old wooden trawlers to relatively new but decrepit liveaboards to turn-of-the-century abandoned tugboats. We see them all. The harbor master is consistently looking for tools to help best manage his harbor facility while keeping a vigilant eye on vessels with encroach on tidelands, which they may or may not have authority to act upon. This proposed authority is necessary throughout the state, but especially in smaller coastal communities, and I'd also like to say riverine communities up the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, where legal enforcement resources are not readily available to deal with the liabilities and hazards of abandoned and derelict vessels. The construction and operation of harbors by the Alaska Department of Transportation shortly after statehood resulted in regulations which empowered only ADOT to effectively deal with troublesome vessels. Expanding the language to include not only ADOT, but other state agencies and municipalities would appear to be sound legislation. The proposed delegation of authority to local municipality will help to refine the relationship between state and city borough responsibilities and will enable harbor masters in communities with limited legal resources or limited local ordinances to act with confidence in prosecuting derelict and abandoned vessels. The modifications to Chapter 3030 appear to have in place sufficient authority which encourages the state or municipality to act in a timely manner and before the vessel is in extremis. This is important because the disposal cost associated with a vessel that is afloat is a small fraction of what it costs once a vessel takes on water, is submerged, or discharges fuel or oil. The Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators thank you for your consideration of this important issue to the Alaska coastal communities.
Thank you, Mr. Yucatel. Any questions from the committee? If not, we'd like to announce that the director of our Department of Environment Conservation is here. If you have any questions, to Mr. Larry Dietrich. Any questions for Mr. Dietrich? State your name and affiliation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Larry Dietrich. I'm with the Spill Prevention and Response Division with the Department of Environmental Conservation. So we respond to the oil and hazmats for sunken vessels, derelict vessels, or many other kinds of situations. And so we frequently are involved. And I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Representative Reinbold.
Third time's a charm. Finally, someone from DEC, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but it's still about cleanup. Can you answer my previous question in regards to the plan for cleaning up the shores from, you know, the disaster that happened in Japan?
Yes, Representative, through the chair, DEC, the governor issued an administrative order that created a work group within state government to oversee the cleanup. The administrative board put DEC in the lead, as they've mentioned. The person for that, our project manager for that, is in another division and has all those details, and we could arrange for a detailed then briefing with the committee, if you so chose, on exactly what's going on right now. There's quite a bit of activity. There's funding involved. There is prioritization of the shorelines. There are cleanup crews and contracts being motivated. I don't have all that detail, but we certainly would be more than happy to provide the committee with the person that's leading that project to give you that detail.
To you too.
Follow up?
I would love that, but I'm not. But these are the co-chairs, so they're the ones that are the boss. So,
Madam Ledoux, you have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I think a presentation on that might be a good idea, mm-hmm. and we can discuss it, you know, further. Thank you, Representative Reinbold, for bringing up the idea.
Through the chair, if I may, I think the department would be willing to do that in either a committee setting like this or individually, as you so prefer. So.
Any other questions? If not, thank you very much for your presentation. We'll close the public testimony, and I would like to ask Representative Seaton for closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for the hearing today. I think that we've heard a lot of folks that have been frustrated because they haven't had the authority to deal with these issues. I think the bill, as we've not only put it forward, but we've solicited lots of comments from across the state on this issue. The Harbor Masters Associations, were the primary movers of the details of what they needed. So I appreciate the hearing, and I appreciate the support of the committee and on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Any questions from the committee? Any discussion from committee members on this bill? If not, is there a motion to move House Bill 131 Version A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move HB 131-28-LS0519/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Any discussion? So moved. With that, House Bill 131 Version A moved from CNRA to the next committee of referral, transportation. We stand adjourned at 7, 8, or 9:58.